everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM, on your dial with Aura Yamini Morrison in the studio with us and Julian Doriello. As usual, and you may be hearing some strange sounds, because for us to broadcast through WBAI, we use telephone lines, we call ISDN lines, and currently Verizon is having a little problem with matching, which happens about once a year. So whatever you hear today that you miss a piece of, you could always get on our website, and it won't be distorted at all. Is that right, Julian?
Yep, you've got it. So we'll have a clear recording of today's program archived on our website, thepositivemind.com.
Good. Today we're talking about people who are victims. People who feel like victims. You know, like just now I presented to you, WBAI is the victim of Verizon. Because once a year, Verizon gets around to matching for whatever reason or other, and they don't pay attention to us, WBAI. So don't you feel sorry for us? Don't you feel angry at Verizon? Right? Didn't I just get you to feel sorry for me? Now think about that. Think of the power of that. Somebody says, I'm sitting here waiting for the cable man. Poor victims of cable men that we are. We consider how important it is for us to wait for the cable, and we're just forced to sit there as if we're forced. Or sometimes you feel like the victim of medicine. And you say, see, the doctor said this, and it was all wrong, and I tried this, and it was wrong, and they gave me a medication, and it was wrong. Again, that position that we're in, which we are calling victim, and I wish there were a better word for it, is a position that seems to gain empathy from other people, and they somehow join you in your angry feelings about the aggressor. Power works. A person who works for an unreasonable boss, right? That sounds victim. They tell you the stories about their boss and how their boss victimizes them and takes advantage of them. The man who called and he said he was constantly harassed by the police. He said over and over again, the police are checking on me and harassing me. The woman who tells friends, my mate is explosive, but I love him. So what is it about victims and what is it about this position that works so well? And I'm sure you're going to have something to say about it, which you could by dialing our number, which you're going to hear in a funny way right now. 212-957-2729. I'll repeat that again. 212-957-2729. All right, until we get this cleared out. Now, somebody said something kind of brilliant so far. We were looking through, I said, you know, I don't want to use the word victim. Is there another word? So we looked into the thesaurus and we found the word pawn. And I thought, oh, a pawn, what an interesting position. Pawns are sacrificed in chess, but pawns are very powerful. They're very powerful. When you open your center game, the pawn stands there and it is mighty against many other of the bigger weapons. The pawn, which is perceived as sacrificial, you can kind of lose it at any point, has a very powerful position. So how do we be small and feel like pawns and still yield power? Hi there, Laura, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have met and loved many victims. And it's the position has many benefits. You feel right. And people align themselves with you. They say, yeah, you're right. He is abusive. That was terrible, the way he yelled at you, the way she talks to you. That's terrible. And we all join the complaining, which is very enjoyable in some ways.
Why do you think we do that? I mean, for example, a man sits at a bar and he says, he tells his buddy that he's drinking with about how his wife was in some way abusive to him. And he talks about it to his buddy, and his buddy gets to dislike this man's wife. but he may never have met the wife. So how do you dislike somebody you've never met? Through the ears of someone else. Well, that's the power of the victim. The power of the victim is they could get an army against you without you even knowing it. I know one man who has got a family who has never met his girlfriend, but by now they hate her. They hate her. He's told stories about her. He said, yeah, she did this and she did that. She yelled at me. And they feel so bad for him because he's such a nice boy. And they feel sorry for him, so they hate this woman. His entire family dislikes her.
And they never met her.
They never met her. And now all of his friends dislike her, but they never met her. She says, I'd like to meet your family. And he says, sure, let's set up a meeting. And something always goes wrong with the meeting. Because this powerful position is divisive and powerful. The role of the victim is a very powerful role. And it's something that we want to help you with. Because if you are one of the victims, or if you're on the other side of being a victim, that's fascinating. That's fascinating because you now you could be the victim of a victim. You know, and that makes you a victim, so we'll talk about that too. Now, it is very hard to talk about the word victim without sounding judgmental. I want you to think of being victimhood as a strategy. It's a strategy. It's a way of getting through in life. As we continue our string of men. Yesterday we had 8 men on the line. Hi, Mark. This is Armand. Hi, Mark. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi. I worked with a lot of people who've called themselves victims before, and I once called myself one in the past. So I know what you mean about raising an army.
Have you raised an army, Mark?
I have, but not by calling myself a victim.
Right. So how have you done it?
I've done it by bringing up everything that I saw that wasn't right with the way I was treated. And by making damn sure that it never happened again. And in 2 minutes of a speech, I turned a crowd of around 500 people who were falling asleep, fairly responsive, into a roaring army of 500 plus strong.
Pretty powerful. So you gathered the people.
I appealed to what they knew, to what I knew they needed to hear.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for calling in. Thank you very much. It's amazing the kind of power that you could have in one way or another. 212-957-2729. So you feel powerless at times, and you don't know what to do. Now, there is the person who goes through life who is considered the nicest man on the face of the earth. You look at him, he's so sweet. He's so wonderful. He's so exciting. He's so beautiful. And every now and then you see the pain in his face. And you ask him what's wrong, and he talks about his mother or his father or something that's always bothering him. And you feel bad for him because he stepped in the same situation he always steps into. I know one guy who has relationships all the time, and these women exploit him, supposedly. And then he feels powerless. Now, the funny thing about victims is if you feel like a victim, you're very likely to find a therapist who encourages your victimhood. You know, they don't challenge it necessarily because you won't go back to them. But if they will agree, if you will agree with them, if you say that if a therapist says to you, oh, you poor baby, you tend to go back to them. What do you do, Aura, instead?
I tend to ask, the victim usually describes only what the other person does. What he said, what she said, is always about somebody else. So I say, well, since we don't have these people here, right here in the room with us, I only have you, so let me ask you, what do you say? What do you do? In that situation, tell me, what did you do? What did you say? And then I start hearing their their side, or I might say, well, what did she say? What did your wife say when you said that? What did she say back to you? So then I hear his wife's perspective through him. And then I say, oh, it's much more, then I realize it's much more complex than the victim presentation. The victim presentation is very simplistic. There is a bad one and there's a good one. I'm the good one, she's the bad one.
And so by getting it, you clarify it by going through the details. We have Youssef on the line with something to say about it.
Please hang up and try.
Oh, no, he's not there. I'm sorry, Youssef. Might have taken me too long to get to the phone. Man number 10. Male number 10. We've lost our female audience. Our women audience have gotten too wise to listen to WBAI. Is this Youssef? Hey, Youssef, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. How have you been in this place dealing with victimhood?
I'm okay. The reason why I'm calling is I'm a really victim of the justice system in which I'm living today. I've been always a positive-minded. I tend to, even when something happened to me, I'm not sure if it's because of my religious belief. Even when it's negative, I always think as a positive. Like, there's, you know, always going to be a positive outcome of what happened to me. But my problem right now is you don't have time for me to tell all the story, but I'm here for what happened. I got arrested, charged for theft for my extortion, and started doing this willing. The day I got to the court, the victim, the so-called victim, testified against the police. Right, so and so I was the prosecutor was forced to dismiss the case, but then for me, in order to heal this thing, to take this thing out, I thought it's better that I speak to the judge and let him know exactly what happened and how the police or how I got where I got.
Okay, wait a minute, you said I don't really have the time for the detail
but
let me ask you the following.
Right,
you're a very nice man. You decided that you would make things clear. You wanted the judge to know that there is a role of aggressor and there's an innocent in this case, right? You went to the judge and you were going to get him on your side so that he would confront the aggressor. Now, here's the problem. Whenever you are trying to gang a force to deal with your aggressor, that means if there's a part of you that's identifying with the victim, and here's the question that we ask. What about the other side? What's created on the other side? Whenever anyone wants me to hate somebody else or dislike somebody else, I ask myself the question, why? Why do you want me to dislike them? Why do you want to tell me a story about that person to get me to dislike them? And I have no idea. The other day, somebody walked past me, and for no reason or other, somebody was standing there, and a woman came by and said, you know, that man who's in my apartment, he's not my husband, but he lives with me. And then she walked away, and I was happy to hear about that. And the woman said to me, you know, they're not married. You see, they're not married. And I said, why? Why? So very often, you get in the role of defending people who seem powerless against powerful forces. And it sounds to me, Youssef, like you've had to do this your whole life. Like your whole life you've been people's protector. Is that true?
That's true. Absolutely true.
Yeah. You know, because you're a positively minded person, but you're willing to fight against forces that you think are being unjust.
Yeah. One quick thing. The thing is, I wasn't asking for the judge to fight the police, car, I know he would not. So since the victim, the so-called victim, came and defend me, like instead of going against me, he said what police said, everything the police wrote against me, he denies them. So what I'm saying is here, that all this didn't take, the judge didn't get to hear this between the prosecutor, my lawyer, and myself, and the whole crew. So my point is, the only way for me to heal, to stay, because this cost me a lot, only way for me to let it go is for the judge or somebody to see that somebody did wrong me.
Sure.
And I still have that. My heart is still burning in my heart right now. You know, but thank you so much for your program. I really, sure, I always listen to you and I enjoy your program. Thank you for calling in,
you said.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, I mean, this is not to say that sometimes there are not true victims. I mean, there are, of course, around the world. And sometimes you are the role. You're in the position of having an injustice in your direction. But I'm talking more about the emotional victim. A victim can play on other people's pity and guilt. When they're angry with us, we can diminish their rage and aggression by playing the weak, abused person. So when you get angry at a person who's using the victim, they seem weak and abused, and you can't get angry at them. You're not allowed to. So it's a favorite for many people, and there are many benefits to it. You're not responsible for your reality. You can't be responsible for your own life. Therefore, it's somebody else. Oh, my God. Did that really happen? That really happened. Hold on a minute, friends. Grace, hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hi.
You had asked another way to refer to someone who maybe like suffered injustice. What would be another term?
Yes, the person who represents themselves as suffering, of suffering injustice, not somebody who really suffers injustice.
Yeah, somebody who survived it, and really, you know, that was an answer to that question. But the idea that a person can pose as a victim and then enlist an army, and like Israel saying they're the victim of Palestine, just to use an analogy, not to get political, but, you know, it's like this person who has had nothing happen to them can then marshal an army against my cause is the mother that's the difficult mother that didn't want the child, and then the whole child's life they've victimized their mother. And so the mother can raise an army against this child, doctors and cops and all that kind of stuff, and really discredit the child and act like she's the one who's been harmed the whole while.
Grace, how has that played out in your life? In your personal life?
That's my mom. That's my misery memoir. I mean, she was able all the way to the age of 50 to, really cause some pretty unjust events to happen. And the emotion, the temptation to become that victim myself, to say, oh, my goodness, this is so unjust, and how could she get away with it, and how could she get all these people to
believe it? Well, here's a question for you. Let me ask you a question. Here's your mother, right, saying things that are affecting you. During that period of time, did you confront her? Did you say, why are you saying these things about me?
Yes. I'm a linguistics, master's in linguistics, and when this happened and I was 50, it was over. I knew why. She was trying to get money back out of a real estate deal by discrediting me so that, well, she's insane. What does she need money for? And, well, what can a person do? Well, what is your evidence of this? Why are you... how do you come to this conclusion?
Right, this is your mother who's saying this, right?
Yeah.
Why would someone... Now, let me ask you a question. Why would someone's mother go as far as to want to hurt their child? And it can't be just about money. It has to be beyond that.
Of course.
You and your mother didn't have this kind of relationship. You didn't have a close relationship, did you?
Well, it had to look that way. Appearances were really essential, but I ruined her life when she was a rebellious teenager by making her give birth to me and raise me and marry her, who she thought of as a rapist, actually. So she really suffered. I mean, her belief is genuine, and her
choice
was... Well, and then she had three more children, and oh my God, she was only 24, and it all started with you.
Sure. That must hurt.
So I really talk to people I see demonstrating at abortion clinics. I live in the rural part of the West, and I want to say, hey, wait, my life, I mean, I am really a survivor. I don't want an army. I just want to, you know, keep my teaching career intact and not be called ugly names all the time. To do that and to come to terms with Judy, I've paid a lot of people a lot of money, and I continue to do so because I don't see. I was so glad to hear your topic. It's so relevant to my life.
Sure. Where do you live now, Grace? You said you live in the Midwest?
I live in the rural West. I live in the Four Corners area.
My gosh almighty. How do you hear our program? You hear us on the computer?
I'm a fish out of water. I listen to progressive radio, Amy Goodman.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the way that I stay linked to the world. I've been disowned and inherited, and I was able to get out with enough to get a little place here, but keeping in my profession and keeping being employed, and I'm a fish out of water. I'm scared to death.
Well, I'm not so sure you're a fish out of water. Maybe, you know, maybe you're a tiger out of water. Because there you are, you know, presenting yourself as, oh, look at how bad things were for me and I survived it. Instead of being a survivor, you may be a thriver. You may be somebody who said, you know, I don't want to do it their way. I'm going to get to the top of the heap. I'm going to move over to the Four Corners. I'm going to stand my ground. But you see, seeing yourself as being directly powerful rather than responsive to somebody being oppressive to you is a different way of looking at it. When you give up looking at yourself as being somebody who is reacting to an oppressor, but instead sees yourself as an aggressor, that's where you begin to change. Because being aggressive is not bad.
Well, I appreciate it. I had some thoughts about that. I used to say, I'm not a victim, I'm a perpetrator of justice.
Good.
And if it means doing carving out my identity in ways that people could criticize, like, how eccentric to move to blah, blah, blah. And, it doesn't matter because I live with myself every minute of the day, and the ones that are beautiful and harmonious are the ones I want more of.
So, great. Well,
I get it in landscape, and I love your show, and I'm so grateful to hear all these people's stories. It's like a good way to stay connected.
Grace, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure. Starman DeMille with you with the positive mind. Oral, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was very impressed with Grace about how, in reality, she talked as if she was her mother's victim. But in fact, she came out of that victorious. She came out of it as an actor rather than as a reactor. Actor in her own life, creating her life as she sees it.
Well, now, we know a couple of people who are perceived as victims. But they don't perceive themselves as actors of their own life. Now, there's an interesting thing about victims is they tend to be disorganized. Now, if you're disorganized, and you're trying to get through life, one of the best ways to get through life as a disorganized people is to blame everybody who's organized. You see? And that's the way you get through. Well, I couldn't fill out those papers because the papers were too much. Well, they sent me the papers late. Well, the bank did this. And so that's one of the ways that people make excuses for themselves not being able to do things. Well, the truth is, if you're disorganized, there's nothing wrong with being disorganized. We need that in the world. That makes you a creative genius. But the fact that you present yourself as, I would be organized if only they didn't do the wrong thing, that's where you start moving the power. When you start saying, hey, I can't get my mind around it, I can't complete what I do generally, I tend to leave things alone. It's nobody's fault. It's not even my fault. It's the way I am.
It's the way my mind works.
It's the way my mind works. Right. And that, at that point, you start going into the power. 212-957-2729. 212-957-2729. Now, when you're confronted with loved ones who are doing this role of victim, you need to be free yourself from the illusion that they are weak and incapable and that we are responsible for their reality or can create their happiness. Sometimes people who are feeling inadequate choose people who look like they could create your reality. I can make you happy. So we have to get beyond that fantasy. Hold on, we have another call here. Sometimes we're health or success in life. You see, hold on a second. Hi, Paul, you're on the air. This is Armand Mill.
Oh, hi, thanks. Yeah, my situation is that I'm like in my mid-50s, and I'm divorced but childless. I was married like for 7 years, a long time ago. And most of my life I've either been not in a relationship or in a sort of a short-term one, or in one that, you know, doesn't seem like it, I don't feel like it's going anywhere. And I do, you know, I have been to therapy, and I realize that it's something that I'm, you know, looking for subconsciously, but I'm aware that it must come from me, but that awareness hasn't made me change.
Well, what is it that you think you're looking for?
Love.
Uh-huh.
And also, I mean, I regret not having had a child and, you know, family. Like, I have a very rich life in terms of creativity and travel, but I don't have, like, a, you know, kind of day-to-day happiness, home life.
Which is one way that some people choose, and another way that they choose is you're a loner. Now, imagine, Paul, if you perceive yourself as a wolf, and that as a wolf, you're a loner, and you like this freedom. You love the freedom. You get to move. You get to choose. You don't get stuck in anything. You don't get into the most of the pain that a lot of people go through. What if you saw this as selective? Well, then you would look back, and you will feel self-critical about not having children and about not having somebody who's there all the time. But you're in your mid-50s, and I'm sure you're selective that you can have choices of people that you want to be with. And you just...
Well, I don't feel that I have that choice. I don't perceive that way.
Are there people that you reject? Is there somebody who would like to love you, but you say they're not good enough for me?
Yes.
So that's what I mean. It's your choice. Because everybody could get loved if that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it sounds to me like you're a choosy guy, which is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to perceive it that
way. But what about loving? I mean, being with someone whom I'm crazy about.
Yeah, so that'll happen.
Okay.
You have to get off this belief that you're doing it wrong, and just assume that you're doing it right till you're doing it right until you're ready to do it right.
Right.
And that'll make a big difference to you, Paul.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. We're going to have to take a short break in a moment. So let me say this to you again. When you're confronted with people who are in this role of victim, you got to get off the illusion that you are weak and incapable, and that you're responsible for their reality or can create their happiness. We need to express our love for them in ways that they can perceive without getting caught up in feeling responsible or guilty for their reality. So if they're in a bad mood, if they get depressed, you got to take it as not your fault. Once you believe that it's not your fault that they are depressed, then you can love them in a different way. Then you begin to love them as they are, including, hey, maybe their hormones are out of whack. Maybe they're feeling bad all on their own. It is not up to me to cure it. Once you're out of that role, the victim no longer has their power, and they can join you and love you as well. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a brief break. And when we come back with you, we'll continue with this and our phone calls at 212-957-2729. And if you can't get through, send us an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. We may be able to pick that up and read it to you as well. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Hi, this is Merle Becker. I am a very proud part of a collective on WBAI Radio called Out FM. And I'm asking you to join us for a Pride special on LGBT issue on the 45th anniversary of Stonewall on Sunday, June 29th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll feature interviews with exiled Nigerian gay men, discussions from sky-high prices of HIV prevention drugs, an exploration of LGBT youth homelessness, stories on transgender issues, and much, much more. We'll also be joined by special guest Billy Porter, Newtonian Grammy Award winning artist currently starring on Broadway in Kinky Boots. So tune in Sunday, June 29th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM and on the internet at WBAI.org. Thanks. Happy Pride.
This is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Don't blame me. It ain't my fault.
I would like to say one more thing about the victim. The victim has a thing about being unhappy. They keep getting stuck in this place, almost like they need to be unhappy. So they find daily reasons not to be happy. Their mind gives them lots of negative thoughts justifying being unhappy. Blaming others, blaming circumstances for their unhappiness. It's very hard for them to say, what a beautiful day, I'm lucky, I have wonderful people in my life. Instead, they have a lot of unhappy thoughts that are depressing them and
feeding this powerful position. You see, it feeds your power position.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. So they may have these thoughts. They may have a lot of thoughts that feed this role.
That's right.
And they feed you into that position of being somebody who can't pick your head above the ground, which I understand. Now, if you live that way, and if you're an unhappy person, you may love me as an unhappy person, and that's okay. I mean, like your love. So that could be fine as long as I don't feel responsible for your pain. When you set up this division of you are responsible for my pain, that's where it starts going awry. 212-957-2729. Hi, Sean. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Doc? I gave you a call back on January 22nd. I mentioned a comment about anger, and it didn't work out too well as far as your advice. I want to ask you today your advice about forgiveness. If you never forgive anybody in life, what's the best way to start?
Oh, is there somebody in particular that you need to forgive?
Well, I don't need to forgive. That's like a rule in my life. But I feel that I should at least once in my life, you know?
Yeah, so for example, who?
A cousin of mine.
Hey, didn't you just say I gave you some advice about anger and it didn't work out?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you forgive me?
I forgive you because you don't know me. And your
okay,
so
just say it to me.
You're educated to speak about. You know?
So
if
thank you, Sean.
On a personal level, it would have been a different conversation. So
Sean, you don't have any problem saying, you don't have any problem saying I forgive you, Armand. Right? You have no problem with that, do you?
No problem.
So say it. Say, I forgive you, Armand, for that mistake you made.
Yeah, I forgive you, Armand.
Yeah, for the mistake I made, right?
Yeah, I forgive you for the mistake you made, but you didn't make the mistake.
Okay, but no. Now, see, this is the problem. I'm trying to teach you how you forgive. So you don't take me off the hook. I probably made a misassumption, and I probably told you something without knowing you that didn't work. And I'm sorry. So I'm going to say to you, Sean, gee, I'm sorry. I must have jumped the gun. So I...
You know what else? You gave me an invitation to come to your workplace, and I never showed up.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely can't hold anything against you.
Sure, okay.
Personal problems in my life, you know.
Well, I forgive you for never showing up. Now let's talk about this person that you think you would like to forgive. Who is it?
Yeah, cousin.
your cousin, what did he do, or she?
Yeah, he runs his mouth to spread lies, just to make people feel a certain way. He has control of the power over my choices.
Yeah, and in some way you'd like to forgive him for that.
Yeah, I mean, before he hurts himself, because that's the only thing that's going to happen to him.
Yeah. So I wonder if you do that in your mind or directly to him.
I haven't happened to him yet.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out a way to avoid it.
Yeah, you have to forgive him before it happens. I understand what you mean. You can't really talk to him about it according to the way you perceive it. Yeah, I understand. So I'm not sure. I mean, what do I know? But you're a very unique man. And I appreciate your calling in. But keep that in your mind. We want to forgive him.
All right, Dad.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. That's an interesting thing, too. When somebody perceives themselves as a victim, and they do rebel and speak directly to someone who they feel is victimizing them, they very often won't let the person apologize. They say, hey, you know what you said really hurt me when you said I look fat in my bathing suit. Now, the person may say, gee, I'm sorry, honey, that was insensitive of me. Usually what would happen is you'd say something like, I said that when I look fat in my bathing suit. I know I shouldn't be wearing that bathing suit. You take it away from them. Part of remaining the victim is not accepting apologies, but making yourself into somebody who's bad. So again, if you love and want to love somebody who is a victim, there is a way that you have to approach it. And the way to approach it is to do it with a loving way, but remember, it's not your responsibility. Or
it's not your fault. Once you buy into the idea that it's your fault, that their unhappiness is your fault, it would be very hard for you to help them. So you need to be very clear that it's not, whatever is going on, it's not your fault. Something triggers, they have a pattern of being, and you want to help them.
And if you can't help them, how can you love them otherwise?
Or you could just love them. You could say, I see your pain, for example. I hear your pain. And just have compassion.
2129572729. But Aura, when somebody does that, when somebody does that thing, when somebody presents it to you and they say to you, you know, you say to somebody, you have my compassion, you know, you have just that, it doesn't seem good enough. They seem to want more. So very often they will push for a fight with you, and then you'll get to an argument and you get angry. And when you get angry, suddenly, when you're angry at somebody who is powerless, they become the victim again. Then they'll tell their friends, then their friends get angry with you.
Yeah, it's a trap. It's called the vicious cycle trap. You get triggered. You just have to know your own. I have to know my own triggers. So if the victim person can also know what triggers me. So we are interacting, and at some point I get triggered and I get angry. And before we know it, we're back into this vicious cycle of anger, protesting, criticizing. Who's bad? Who's right? Who's wrong? And it's a vicious, horrible game to play.
Well, I don't know if it's vicious and horrible. It's a typical game that people play. That's a little too much judgment on my part.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a game that people play. It's a way that people bounce off each other.
Yeah.
It just doesn't yield the highest potential.
Right. It's not very fun. I mean, we all fall into it.
It may be fun. It may be fun.
There is fun in it. But at some point, you get tired of it, too.
Hopefully. But I'll tell you, if you were my victim,
yeah,
I would say to you, Aura, I want you to know that I love and care for you and want very much for you to be happy, healthy, and satisfied in your life. I want that very much. However, I'm beginning to realize that I cannot create that for you. I realize now that I've been feeling responsible for your reality and sometimes guilty because you're not as happy and satisfied as we would both like you to be. So you making this discovery might say, I now understand that I do not help you by feeling responsible or guilty. These feelings make me angry with you because you do not what you could do to create a happier life for yourself. But I want you to see that I now understand this. Thus, I will no longer try to create your happiness or get your approval through your expression of satisfaction. I'm going to love you and offer you whatever I can do without doing more than I believe I should and without getting angry at you because you're not satisfied. So that's a beginning talk. Let's take a call from Billy Ann. Hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Hi, this is Billy Ann.
Hello, Billy Ann.
How are you?
Good.
Good, good. You know, I had an incident. I was very angry with my sister, and I told her, I said, I'm angry with you. And she said, I know it. And then she says, I don't care. And then I got even more angry.
Yeah.
She said, I don't care. And, you know, in a couple of days, I started thinking about it. And I said, you know, this is really silly. And we both just started laughing. So when you were talking about you with the angry that came, you know, came back to me, how it was just, after a while, I said, this is just silly to be angry with you. And the thing that got me angry was that she didn't care. And then that made me more angry.
And that wasn't true either, right, Billian?
Right, right.
Right, so somewhere you know. When you love somebody, and this is like your sister, and you have this between you, little things like this could come up, but they get healed easily.
Yes.
They get fixed simply.
Yes.
And you sound like you're very, very aware. And Billy Ann, you have a way of keeping love in your life.
Yes, I try to. I like love. I like to give and I like to receive. You know, I've had 6 back surgeries, and I'm in pain all the time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Day in and day out, and so far, I had been pretty good with it, but I still had my very first back surgery in 96, and I had my last one last year. And now I'm getting very tired and very impatient.
Well, then you're perfect for me to speak to, Billy. And let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault is it?
That I had the back surgery?
No, whose fault is it that you're in the condition you're in now?
Nobody's
really. That's the way. Not even yours.
Right. It just happened.
It's just what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great. That's why your spirit is there.
Uh-huh.
If you said it's the doctor's fault, it's the surgeon's fault, it's the advisor's fault, or you said it's my fault,
uh-huh.
Either of those would put you into a negative, depressed position.
Right.
But with the courage you show, being able to stand up with all of this stuff happening with your back, that's amazing.
Yep, I just take pills all day, all night long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I said, now I've been in such pain. People were telling me they could hear it in my voice. I said, oh, my God, you're in so much pain, I could hear it in your voice. I didn't even realize it. But, you know, I'm trying. But now I've gotten very, very tired and very patient of being impatient rather than being in pain. But every now and then when these little things come up, and if I had continued to be angry with my sister, it would have led into something that became bigger than what it started out to be.
Certainly not worth it.
Right. So we just laugh about it, you know. And so that was what I thought about it when you were
talking. What's your sister's name?
Her name is Danette.
Danette, can you say something to Danette right now on the radio, as if it could travel through the airwaves, so that somehow, even though she may not be listening, it would land in her consciousness from Billy Ann. Say something right now.
Oh, hi, Danette. This is your wackadoo sister, and I love you very much, but you know that anyway.
Thank you so much for calling in, Billy Ann.
Okay, thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
See, now there's 957-2729. There's an example of somebody who doesn't blame anyone.
And she says that it's just what happens. Just what happens. That things in life, we always look for blames, but we don't really know what is to blame. All we know is this is just what happens. That's all we know.
You talk about, or you talk about four motivational systems in human beings. Can you talk to that for a moment? What are the four motivational systems in human beings?
Yeah, the one system is the feelings. The whole list of feelings. Our feelings move us. And there's a long list of feelings that move us, such as anger, fear, pain, shame, excitement, pleasure, and so on. The other system is our needs system, our interpersonal needs, what we need from each other. And another one is our drives. There are two drives, the hunger drive and the sex drive. Some people add more drives, like the drive for success. And then the last one is the purpose. We have things we want to be and do in the future that we work for. They move us, they motivate us. And we also have dreams and ideas and values that move us.
So, Aura, what do you think of this purpose system? The idea of having a purpose. You think you have to have a purpose?
You don't have to have a purpose.
Good. Now stop there for a moment. I want to get on this one.
Yeah.
Julian, I'm going to ask you a question. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. Julian, do you have a purpose? Good.
According to who? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
no.
Do you have a purpose in your mind? Do you say to yourself, my purpose in life
no,
is to...
No, I don't.
Not is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's okay. It's okay to not have a purpose, a guiding principle, a guiding purpose.
I think there's things that I want to do with myself, but I don't think that there's anybody that I want to, like some purpose that would give in to me.
Yeah, and one of the people like I know said recently that until she was locked into Christianity, she said, I finally realized that I don't have a purpose in life, and she said it was so remarkable. It was so freeing to not have the purpose.
Yeah, to just be here.
Just be here. 212-957-2729. Hi, Joan, you're on the air.
Hello, Armon, how are you?
Good, good, good.
I never felt like a victim, but I was victimized about 10 years ago by a crooked, swindling financial person. And I was introduced to this person. It was after 9/11, and the brokerage firm sent me all the certificates. So I mentioned to my banker, a very large bank, that I needed a broker, and she recommended this person. And it was terrible. I did fight it and did get out of it, but I see her at church, and it's so hard for me to forgive her.
Have you spoken to her about this?
Yes, I brought it up briefly, and she went into a denial mode.
That it's not her fault because she gave you this broker, and you had asked for a broker, and therefore it wasn't her fault.
Well, that she didn't know how evil he was. He was
okay.
Really evil.
Okay. I've known of a few people like that who are not known to the people who recommend them. You know, look at all the recent cases of hustlers like that. So she doesn't really have to be at fault.
Right.
And she could feel responsible in many ways. And yes, you were a victim of some kind of a swindle, but you got yourself out of it, obviously, with enough power to get yourself out.
I took every friend that I had.
So now, who's this lady in your church? And
she's
how can you imagine the load?
She's just a parishioner.
Imagine the load that she carries for having sent so many people to this broker. And imagine how many of them tried to get out and couldn't get out. And imagine how she must feel for going this way.
Mm-hmm.
Could you get her off the hook?
I've been praying to get her off the hook, and it's so hard.
Why is that?
Because every time I see her, I know how she adversely affected my life.
No, you have to do this another way. You have to know this another way, or you shouldn't even be in the church. You know what I mean? I mean, she and you are both part of the same universe, both part of the same God, and there's a piece of you that you can do with this lady that you're holding on to not doing, because you're bigger than this. You're clearly more powerful than this. You don't blame anybody. Let me ask you one question. Maybe this will help. Did you have an older sister?
No.
You have any younger sisters?
No.
You have no sisters.
I'm only.
You're the only child.
Yes.
If there were anybody when you were little, if there was anybody responsible for the pain that you felt as a child, who would you say that person is?
I hate to say it, but it was my mom.
Yeah, I don't think you'd hate to say it. And what did she perpetrate?
Well, she was envious of the affection my father showed to me.
That's right. And so she was envious of it, in some way jealous. And she wanted to be close to your father. And you had to grow up feeling like there was somebody out there who didn't like you very much. And that person was your own mother. So that pain that you carry on the inside gets transferred to somebody else who in some way becomes an object of it. And it gets to be a crossover. So first, we have three forgivenesses here. First, you have to forgive yourself. Number one, for feeling bad about your relationship with your father, you didn't do anything wrong. Number two, for getting yourself involved in this scam that you got yourself involved in, because there's a part of you that was responsible for it also.
Mm-hmm.
And for number three, forgiving this lady who must be in an awful lot of pain. Give her a pie. Bring her a pie one day. I'm serious about that. You know? Say,
yeah.
Look, I know you went through a lot. I know this was difficult for you. But not only do I forgive you, but I appreciate all that you've said to me. All right? And just let her go. She's going to cry.
Do I address it to her?
Just tell her you know what it's about. Tell her you realize, you know? And just don't blame her.
Sometimes I think she doesn't realize it.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does. You don't have to clarify it any further than that, Joe.
Uh-huh.
All right, so thank you very much for calling in. Our role in life is to make it as sane as we can wherever we can do it. You know, and wherever you could do it, it's terrific. Wherever we could expand ourselves, not only to be the victims, but to forgive the perpetrators. Because we're only the victims if we can keep the perpetrators going in some way. And we can only keep the perpetrators going by feeling like, you know, it's them who did it. So there, my friends, this is our program about this. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So, Aura, a last thing, you work with a lot of couples. When you work with a couple, there's always one blaming the other, right? I'm sure every time a couple walks in to see me, they're saying, it's his fault or it's her fault.
Yes. And actually, in fact, they both blame each other. And that is, so what I do is I show them that this is something typical called the vicious cycle of anger and pain. And I show them how they keep falling into the cycle by protesting back and forth, criticizing back and forth, looking for the bad guy who's the bad guy, blaming each other, shaming each other. I just keep saying, notice what you're doing now. And I teach them to interrupt that cycle and go to another place that is softer, that they long for. They long for connection, and they long to just be in a loving situation with each other, a loving state and a loving embrace.
And see, one of the things I see you do when you work with people is you'll actually get out of your chair and you'll go sit next to the person who's feeling angry, and you'll say, now look.
There, tell me what's underneath this.
Tell me what's underneath this.
Yeah, I hear you're protesting. You're protesting. You're compelled to protest. It's hard to stop you. I'm trying to stop you to interrupt that protesting behavior so you could tell us what's underneath that protestation. And then the person soften.
And they only soften by your touch. You're such a gentle human being. I sent you a couple this week, and I'm saying, well, lucky they are to be able to hang out with Aura. you know, and straighten things out. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. with a new gang and a new topic. Special thanks to everybody out there for their help. So we'll be back with you. If this was a garbled conversation that you got today as you were listening, later today you could go to my website, thepositivemind.com, and you could hear the whole program rebroadcast without any of that stuff. Thanks a lot for coming in today, friends.